Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 12th of October, recording at 9:26 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first the highlights. Asian stock markets, a little bit mixed. Japan continuing to underperform. And European stock markets, though, strong. And Wall Street, strong. More new highs. I'm in here today by some of the leading indices. And looking at government bonds, a little bit steadier. They've been taking a thumping in the last few days, earlier this week. And the US dollar, a little bit easier in here today. And actually, it's continued to weaken in after-hours trading. Particularly weak, I noticed, against the Australian dollar. That may well represent the first crack in the dollar's recent strength. And precious metals. They were quiet, but then firmed up because the oil price rallied. And for instance, crude is currently at 58.35, and that's up 76 cents here today, having been over a dollar lower at one stage. The industrial metals strong, really packing in firmly here. Okay, let's go back. Where are we? Well, these global stock markets remain very, very much in form. Interestingly, the European markets have led. It's something that I've mentioned before on many occasions. It's something that I would not have expected at all, incidentally, but that's the beauty of having price charts, because one sees the leadership, and I like to back leadership, and did not aggressively, but with my SMI long position, most of which I'm still holding. The Asian, then came the U.S. Stock market indices, pushing through to new high ground, a terrifically bullish signal for the rest of the world. Remember that Wall Street leash effect, and for new subscribers, and new subscribers are coming in all the time, fortunately, welcome all to the Fuller Money Global Strategy Service. But when I talk about the Wall Street leash effect, I mean quite literally, as in the dog walker carrying the leash. Wall Street's psychological influence, and also monetary influence in terms of investors diversifying overseas and so on, is very, very powerful. And while talk of coupling and hopes of coupling spring eternal, we haven't had a great deal of uncoupling in terms of really significant trend moves. That may occur at some future date, but basically around the world, regardless of race, creed, age, religion, whatever, we seem to do similar things at the same time. So the global community of stock market investors so often act in sync. But getting back to the Wall Street leash here, if Wall Street is firm, steady, I should say, steady, let alone rising, that allows some of the other markets around the world, to particularly those that are either in fashion or that have particularly good growth rates, whatever, that causes them to be of interest, to absolutely romp. And that's what we've been seeing recently. And conversely, if that Wall Street leash is retracted because Wall Street is weakening, then that costs along not only a long shadow, I'm mixing my metaphors here, it's probably due to the hour of this recording, but what it does, if Wall Street weakens, that leash starts to retract, and it will pull other stock markets down, and the high beta markets will fall a lot more than Wall Street. Well, currently, Wall Street is very firm, and that is allowing other markets to do extremely well as well. And so this is leading to more short covering among those who've been foolish enough to short markets in here. And it is also forcing a lot of money back into the market. And this is a subject I've talked about previously, but a lot of people have been holding cash because they were frightened that the May-June reaction was so sharp. Instead of seeing that as climactic, as it's been described here, instead of seeing it as climactic, the fear was that it was the beginning of something bigger overall, possibly even a bear market. That was the fear. You remember the talk back then. And then there was also that view that somehow the low couldn't occur until October. Well, that's telling the market what to do, isn't it? Which is usually a mistake. If we get a climactic sell-off, that's usually it. Then we look for some base building, and if we get the base building and then start to rally up out of there, had the base building or support building, I should say, in, I guess the bases were way back in 2003, 2002, 2003, but support building certainly, following a predictable medium-term correction. And that occurred in July, and then in August, the rally commenced, and really stock markets haven't looked back. Now, there are leads and lags in here, and I mentioned Japan as being in a lagging position, and that will change at some state, but I'll wait till I see evidence on the charts that it is changing before considering participation. Meanwhile, everything else in Asia is doing quite well. And as I pointed out again today, if you want a laggard that is actually starting to perform in Japan and lagging for a very clear factor of the political uncertainty that was taking place, well, people aren't going to worry about that for too long if they see stable conditions in Thailand and if they see other markets running riot on the upside, particularly given Thailand's valuation. So, pretty good action here recently. Okay, well, I think this is going to carry on for certainly a bit further. There's always the possibility of a wobble at some stage in October, but I don't think it will be much of a wobble. I think it would take an exogenous shock to cause markets to pause for anything other stock markets pause for anything other than briefly here right now. I do not see that well, I'm not in the business of predicting exogenous shocks and weight of cash here. I think we'll drive these markets up and that we will see pretty good gains running right on through the end of the year and well into the first quarter, and I expect 2007 to be a bullish year overall. Okay, so government bonds, the debate continues here, and I posted an important chart of 10-year Treasury yields yesterday. You can see a lot of graphs in the library covering these bonds. I don't like the overhead supply. I certainly expect them to underperform equities. I don't think we're slipping back into some sort of deflationary slump. The inflationary pressures have temporarily abated with oil prices fall, but oil prices decline is temporary. And it is going to start to move back upwards again, probably quite soon. And that will help the precious metals to move back upwards. And the industrial metals, some of them are hitting new highs. Nickel in here today, for instance. And have a look at that commodity index, that raw commodity index that I posted once again in here today, and there's a good UBS report commenting on that as well. And look at the grain prices, the particularly wheat. Well, it's really all wheat and corn, and so those inflation pressures will pick up again. And when that happens, well, we'll see bond yields backing up more. So watch for that, and when that happens, then the Fed will be worrying, and other central banks will start to worry, And we will get into more dangerous waters for stock markets. But that's ahead. Let's enjoy what we've got here right now. And in terms of these precious metals, having seen this weakness in the dollar against the, or sudden weakness against the Australian dollar in here today, quite a clear upward dynamic by the Aussie against the US. I posted that chart. And feeling that the dollar is a bit overextended here, and just at a time when some people are starting to turn dollar bullish, I want to keep a close eye on these precious metals because I'm way, way underinvested there right now because they have been out of form, but I certainly don't want them starting to trend on the upside without me. And I'll keep a close eye on those, but again, I've continued to wait here so far and play other things, not least some of the funds that I have participated in for a long time and that are invested in Asia and that I like. And note the way Rio Tinto and Billiton are pushing back up. Note the way the Merrill Lynch World Mining Trust is pushing back up. I think in terms of value, the top mining shares and the best ones in terms of the big mining companies are listed in the Fuller Money Chart Library in that little equity section right down at the bottom of the drop-down menu. These are trading at single-figure multiples based on average estimates for metal prices, which are way below where the metals are trading today. So I don't think there's any greater value in this sector, which is more of a growth story given the rise and rise of these previously moribund economies that are now absolutely booming, led by China and India. So the infrastructure development is going to run for decades, and then you've got the Middle East, and then you've got South America, huge infrastructure projects taking place. And this is going to be another typical long-term. No, it's not going to be a typical long-term commodity bull market. It's going to be very long-term, but it's going to be the best ever for industrial resources. And I, for one, certainly want to be heavily weighted in that sector. And I am second only to the Asian emerging market story, where my favorite overall in the long term remains India, but the hot catch-up play here right now is really Thailand. And that's it, folks. Tomorrow I have a concert, and so I'm going to be out of here early in terms of my big picture audio and the comment of the day. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.